If you just like to, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 54. I'm just going to read a couple of verses, or one verse. Entitled this sermon, Weird Science, and you'll see why eventually. Isaiah 54, and we're going to read verse 5. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Let's ask God to bless his word. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, that it is for encouragement, Lord, for building us up, Lord, for giving us direction, Lord, for helping us, Lord, for even changing us sometimes. Lord, I pray that you'll do these things in our lives this morning as we hear your word. Amen. The words that I want to concentrate on this morning are, for your Maker is your husband. Now, as far as I can remember, I've only heard this preached on once, and it was a long time ago when we had a visiting minister here, years and years ago. And then about 18 months ago, I found it again when I was reading, and thought, and highlighted it to preach on. And then sort of a couple of months ago, it cropped up in the Bible study. I thought, I'd already got it highlighted. I thought, when I get the opportunity, I'm going to preach on that, because it seems time might be right. So what I want to talk about is your Maker is your husband. Has anyone seen this film,
No.
Weird Science?
No.
That's good then. If you want to borrow it, it's a pound a day. No, I'm looking. But let me explain what the story is. Two teenage boys, they're not a very good hit with the girls. And they come up with a scheme. They're a bit sort of, what would we call them? Geeky, the computer geeks. They're not a very good hit with the girls, so they decide that they're going to try and make a girl, going to make themselves the ideal woman. And they've got this super-powered computer. And what they do is they input all the things that they like about the sort of the lady that they would like, you know, a nice figure and absolutely stunning. And because the geeks, one of them says, well, we wanted her to have a brain as well. We don't want her to, like, sort of be not very intelligent, so they give her sort of a Mensa brain as well, you know, really IQ brain. And it was a bit of a laugh for them, really, and I can remember they put bras on their heads and all sorts of daft things in the film. And then they go ahead and set this computer off, and it was supposed to be like just a computer-generated woman that they made so that they could have it as a friend on the computer. And what happened was there's a massive lightning strike, and they end up somehow with the blowing the room to bits and sapping the power from everywhere. And suddenly this gorgeous woman appears in their bedroom door, and the bedroom door blows off. And the story goes on from there. But what these two boys actually did are very similar to what this verse is saying, and that's why I called this sermon Weird Science, because it says your Maker is your husband. God has made us exactly how he wanted us. You know, he's input everything that he wanted us to be, and we are the person that he wants us to be. And yet sometimes when we look at ourselves, we can see faults, we can see things wrong, but yet God made us like that. He could have made us into anything, and he made us as we are. If you were in a position of being able to create your partner exactly to your specification, what would he or she look like? That's a question for you, isn't it? Would it look like the person that you do, that is your partner? Would you choose to like slim them off a bit, or make them more muscly, or make them more beautiful, or make them a bit more brainy? You know, what would you do if you got the choice of being able to choose exactly the specification that your partner had? What would he or she do differently to what they do now? What qualities would they need to have to be a perfect match for you? Because even though we pick a partner for life, as we think Christians, they're not always perfect, are they? So there's things what I could think about what Diane, where I would say, is annoying to me. She's probably got a lot more things about me that he's annoying to her. We're not perfect, are we? Mm. Now, look at your partner if they're here. Do they measure up to your ideal man or woman? Please don't answer that, but have a look. you can answer that at home if you want. Yeah, if you dare, yeah. But probably in a lot of ways, they are perfect for you. Whereas there's probably some little bits that you might like to just chip off or hone or retrain would be a good word these days. Yes, probably there is. And like I said, Diane would probably have a good list on me if you asked Diane about the things on me that she would like to retrain. We aren't perfect, and I would like to think not many people are 100% perfect if their partners were asked secretly in a poll and there was nobody was going to find out and they put the truth down. I very much doubt whether anybody would be 100% satisfied. Now, as we think of the first six words of my reading this morning, your maker is your husband. This is an awesomely beautiful thing for God to say to an imperfect people, to Israel, and to us. There are also imperfect people. This tells us some fantastic things about how much God loves us and how much he chose us. First of all, just to put it in context, these words were spoken by God to a backslidden and an idolatrous Israel at the time. It wasn't when things were brilliant, you know, and the Israelites were worshipping God and everything was well. God spoke these words to them when they were backslidden, you know, when they weren't doing what they should be doing. And these words, let me read them again. Your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. And he's called the God of the whole earth. So he said these words to a people that were in no way perfect. Yet God had still made them, and he still loved them. He didn't sort of go back in time like he could have done as the awesome creator and not bother even making them. God loved them so much, even with their flaws, that he says that he is their husband. The God of all the hosts of heaven and earth, the one that was willing to redeem them from the trouble they'd landed themselves in, the one God who controlled all creation, wanted them and was willing to do something about him. That same God also wants us and has done something about it and is still willing to do more about it. And these words apply as much to us today as they ever did to the Israelite nation then. God loves us so much, even with our flaws and sins, that he says we are his bride, he is our husband, and he has done everything in his power so that we can be his, so that we can have a relationship. When I think about this, it seems upside down, doesn't it, that you would think it should be us who are doing and being all we can become to be God's bride, you know, to be the right thing, but it's the other way around. God has done everything that he can do, and he says that he is our husband, whether we like it or not, really. In this verse, God is saying, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, I'm still your husband. And we're in this relationship and we'll work at it together. Let's look at these words a little bit closer. I actually intended to preach on some of the other things in this verse, but I never got far enough. So we're only going to look at these six words probably. Let's look at, first of all, the first two words, your maker. So it says your maker is your husband. Your maker. If you think about the word maker, it's someone that is a builder or a creator, actually does stuff. It's not something so that somebody that sits about, they actually, you know, put stuff together and make stuff, and that's what God is. God is our maker, our builder, our creator. We were individually created by God to be the person we are. A very personal and unique design by God. Completely opposite to sort of automation. You know, you see the big machines that just can produce millions of identical things, you know, in an hour. There's millions and trillions of people that have ever lived on the earth, but every single one is different. You know, those not even identical twins are not the same. You know, the personalities and the way that they do things, even though they might look the same. And every single person is unique. He's a design by God to be the person that we are now. I just want to read you a couple of verses from one of my favourite chapters in the Bible, which is Ephesians. I just want to read you one verse from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. This is what it says. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are a work of art by God. We're not ugly and horrible, we're a work of art by God. We weren't just thrown together. He didn't think, oh, there's a spare arm here, you know, there's a leg here, I'll stick that on this body, you know, I'll put that one in, I'll put that in 1974, that one can be born. We were designed and we were chosen and we were put together in a precise way to be the people that we are now. We're a work of art. We are created and designed to be the person we are and will be by God. And that's amazing when you think about all the people that have ever lived and ever will live. Every single one is different. Let me ask you another question. If you were God and you had a clean slate or a new lump of clay, would you have made you as you are now if you were God? Yet you are and always were created by God in just the right way in his mind and time to do and be the person that he needs to walk in the walk that he's chosen. And he did that before even creation was thought of. You know, before even creation was started, he designed you. You know, he thought what you were going to be. He thought what time in history that you were going to fit. He thought what church you would be in this morning. You know, it was all, we can't understand that. It's just so big, isn't it? It's an incredible thought. But it says there, but before creation, we were in his mind. You know, he thought about us. The other thing is that we were created just as we are. We've got flaws and all, but by God to walk the path that he has designed, be his bride, be married to him. Have you ever thought what the world might be like? Have you ever thought what God would do if he'd made everybody perfectly to start with? Can't say that he wouldn't have a job because he's God. But, you know, if someone was a factory inspector and everything that came out of the factory was perfect and always would be and always will be, they would sack him, wouldn't they? Because there was nothing for him to do. If we were all perfect, then God wouldn't have much to do, would he? The second part of the next three words is, the first two are your maker, and the next three is your husband. Your maker is your husband. Notice it doesn't say here, your maker will be your husband. Because a lot of people think that when we get to heaven, there's going to be a wedding feast and, you know, and we're going to be married to Christ, but we're already married to him. He's already our husband. It was wrote in the present tense, your maker is your husband. And remember, it was written to a people that were backslidden. You know, people that weren't in God's favour, if you want, really. Or in their eyes, they certainly wouldn't have been. A lot of scriptures talk about a wedding feast in heaven, don't they? I believe that we as Christians are already married to God. The second that we become Christians, we've already got that personal relationship with him. And what happens in heaven is an eternal wedding party. It's an eternal celebration that we're invited to. You know, where we'll celebrate that union. God says to the Israelite nation and to everyone who knows him, I am your husband. Now, perfect present tense. So what does that mean? What it means is that he knows us intimately. I don't mean in a sexual way, but he knows all our personalities. He knows all our thoughts. He knows what we're going to think before we even think them, it says in his word. He knows the things that we love. He knows the things that we hate. He knows how our minds work. He knows our faults. He knows our design. He knows our bodies. He knows what we will do better than we do. He knows every little detail and every little thought that we have. That can be quite scary, can't it, if you think about that? You know, that God knows every single thought that we have, he even knows what we're going to do after we've thought it, before we even do it, before we've probably even made up our own minds. If you think about that, the intimacy of that is much more than any earthly husband or wife, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't know what your husband is thinking, you don't know what your wife is thinking. They can tell you, but you don't know, do you? This is a supernatural husband, you know, a supernatural relationship. One thing what I like about God is that he knows what we need without asking, without us having to ask him. What would you give for your earthly partner to be able to have that quality? To some extent, we're living with people for years, you get to know, don't you? But you don't know exactly what they need or exactly what they want at any time. But God does, doesn't he? If you think about the story of Hosea, it comes up now and again, doesn't it? And God makes Hosea marry a prostitute. And even while she is so unfaithful to him, God tells him, take her back. You know, even though she goes off again, take her back. She's yours, you're married to her. And God makes him keep taking her back, don't he, even though she's so unfaithful. And then says this, this is like the relationship I have with you, Israel, and maybe with us at times. You know, that we wander, you know, that we stray from God, and he has to bring us back, and he's still married to us. You know, even when we do things wrong, even when we fall away, he's still married to us. I just want to read two other verses that are in Hosea. Verse 19 and verse 20. Listen to this. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Wow. Here, God renews his covenant and love with Israel in the form of wedding vows. Betrothal, the speaking of love words and promises. You know, when you do your wedding vows, you choose what you're going to say to your partner a lot more these days than you used to do. And usually those are promises, you know, and those are words of love. No, and those are words of encouragement. He talks those words to us. He talks of a relationship of permanence in this, with right standards, with fair treatment, with love and with mercy. A relationship of, it says, knowing God, that we will know God, and being known by God and just loved for who we are and for who he is. So in conclusion this morning, no matter what we think of ourselves or what other people think, God made us this way. This is how we are, this is who we are, and this is the generation that we're called to serve in. We're not perfect when we compare it to Jesus. We're probably not perfect when we even compare it to the ideal person. But he loves us in a totally unconditional way. That is how God's love works. He loves us just as we are. What's more amazing is that he knew what we would become and are and will be, and he still made us. You know, he knew all about the faults and the things we would do wrong and where we would stray and where we would be coming back and where we would be good, but he still made us. And that's because he's our husband and he loves us. And your maker, creator, life planner is your husband. You are exactly what he desires and wouldn't have made you any other way. Because if he needed you another way, he would have made you a different way. And he wants to spend eternity with you as you are. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
Your maker is your husband, and that's a fact, and that's so awesome, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen.